Thanks Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
Good evening, it's Friday once again, which means it's time for Friday Sport Preview. Rob Pritchard here, hope you've had a wonderful week and a wonderful Friday so far. Coming up tonight, a look ahead to this weekend's Manx football fixtures, which include a very tasty top-of-the-table clash in the Men's Premier League, whilst just 3 points separate the top three sides in the Women's Division. It's the next stage of cup competitions in Manx hockey. We'll be hearing about which clashes are taking place across the tournaments tomorrow. And in cricket, the island's national team's perfect performance in a recent off-island tournament has also seen the emergence of some potential rising stars for the future. That is all to come this evening. So, turning to the footballing side of things, Manx football this weekend, fixtures as usual across the men's, women's and masters leagues. One of the eye-catching clashes is likely to be a very tasty top-of-the-table contest in the men's Premier League. And elsewhere, as I mentioned, just 3 points separating the top three sides in the hotly contested women's division. Tony Meppham is here, as ever, to take us through this this weekend's schedule. Good evening to you, Tony.
Good evening to you, Rob.
Yeah, well, first off, it's a phrase. I've got to say it. I'm going to say it again. Friday night football. It's another one. I've got that. I've got Friday night football and the Burner Bowl. Those are two phrases I'm calling right now. Anyway, before we get to the weekend's action, the reason why I say this is because we do have a game this evening, in fact. Division 2, St John's versus Braddon. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it's a big game. It's the first one there this season of the Division 2 first team, if you like. We've had a combination game already. And when you look at these two teams, look at the league standings. Braddon 9th, St John's 1st. They're scoring plenty of goals, aren't they, St John's? And when you look at Kieran Brock, Callum Taggart, there's a right old battle going on between those two to see who's going to be the leading goal scorer at the end of the season. They've got Dean Lees in there as well to help things along the way. Ray Lovell's been playing well in midfield. And then when you look at the inclusion, Liam Sale will probably be on the subs bench. Sam Ingham will be in the starting lineup alongside Will Penhulric. So it looks really good for St John's. But Braddon, super result 7 days or 6 days ago against Paul Rose, where they won 4-3. Nick Harvey it was with a hat-trick in that game, so well done to him. Sean Shimmons should be in the team, Rhys Lake and Craig Fletcher as well. And there's some fancy apps coming out now, Rob, and I'll show you this one later. But well done to Tony Sewell. He's given me the starting lineup of St John's here. It's all here with their jerseys, numbers, names and everything. So in goal tonight for St John's is Neil Thomas. Three at the back, Sam Ingham, Will Penhulric and Nathan Kelly. Then in midfield, you've got Ray Lovell, Peter Callow, Andrew Chadwick and Lee Tregurtha, I think it is. And then up front, wow, what a threesome this is. Dean Lees, Kieran Bock, Callum Taggart. Lots of goals involved in there. So Braddon are going to have to play out of the skins to get a result here.
Obviously, the league standings say different, but you just never know, do you? But I love that. Lineups just before it as well. Excellent.
Let's make it. Well, we're moving on. We're getting there.
We are indeed. Okay, so moving on to Saturday and the Canada Life Men's Premier League. The games are kicking off at 2:30. The first one here is Douglas Old Boys versus St George's.
Yeah, and I think, 8th against 7th. Don't sort of be sucked in by the league positions right next to each other, because St George's are a very good side. I saw that last week firsthand. Some really good young players in there. Morgan Naylor, Josh Kane. It's in a good place. It's going to take a bit of time to gel together. But I think Johnny Myers is doing a good job playing and managing. So against Old Boys, it'll just be a question of who's fit. I tried to get some news from the team today, but nothing forthcoming. But I noticed that Scott Horn was in last week. Whether he plays for FC Isle of Man tomorrow, we'll find out. But there's other players who've come in. James Murphy as well, who's a little terry around that midfield area. And the Callum and Craig Stewart brothers will really form a good partnership to try and take the points away from St George's. But I just can't see it happening.
All right, and then next, Moran versus Douglas Royal.
Yeah, now, when you look at the table, Moran are struggling. They really are, and they've got players in there who I think are really good players for whatever is happening to the club at the moment, because I watched them against Ramsey. I thought they turned the corner here. Similar stage to last year, but it's not happening at the moment. And Douglas Royal, if they win tomorrow, they go third in the league. Now, that's mega. At this stage of the season, halfway through the first half of the season, Michael Fitzmaurice will be absolutely chuffed to bits with that one. And that's why I'm going for Douglas Royal to win.
And the next one, well, this jumped straight out. Top of the table clash, Ayr versus Rushen United.
Yeah, I'm just getting a few directions, Rob, to get to this game tomorrow. I'm glad that Chris and Alex have given me the van as well, so off we go. No motorway cafes on the way, so I might have to take a coffee with me. But yeah, Ayr second against Rushen top. What a battle this is going to be because, you know, Ayr, I believe Declan Cummins might not play tomorrow. He might be injured, picked up midweek. But when you look at the organisation that they've got from Rick Holden and Nick Hurt, it's like an extra player for Ayr United at the moment, as well with Rushen. Been scoring plenty of goals. Unfortunately, I haven't got FC Isle of Man's travelling squad yet, so I can't suss out if Mikey Williams or Furu Davies is involved in that one. But if they're available to Rushen, then it changes this game completely. Furu's so, so fit at the moment, scoring plenty of goals like we saw midweek for FC Isle of Man. It's going to be a right old battle. At the moment, I'm going to sleep on this one, Rob, if I may. I'll speak to Paul Moran tomorrow afternoon. But at the moment, I'm going for a draw. But I'll just wait and see if I can get a bit more team news before I commit. Sorry.
Well, it's one to look forward to either way. I like how democratic you're being there. Okay. Moving on slightly, we've got Laxey versus Ramsey.
Yeah, sixth again, fifth. And now clubs are starting to look at the halfway stage season games where they've played 12 to get qualified for the Descartes Railway Cup. And this is a big game because Ramsey are ahead of Laxey in the league. They've got a good form in some players at the moment. Dave Reynolds is playing out of his skin. Joe Walters is good in there. Then you've got the two Toms, Tom Kenny, Tom Cowan. So Laxey looking really strong. But I think Andy Cooper will be well happy with where Ramsey are in the league. They've played some good football. Anthony Bale scoring goals. Jason Crane got his name on the score sheet last week. So again, this is going to be a very, very close battle. No team news from this one, but I'm just going to edge this one to the team that's in sixth place, and that's Laxey.
All right, and the last but certainly not least in the Men's Premier League this weekend is Union Mills versus Peel.
Yeah, and when you look back over the years, you would never say Peel 9th, Union Mills 10th. You know, Union Mills, super win last time they played 2 weeks ago against Geordies. So Stephen Fox will be hoping that they can get something out of this game. Peel at the moment, we'll wait and see. Reece Oates is down to be on the bench. He's feeling fit, he's trained this week. So if he plays, that's a big plus for them. Good win against Ramsey Youth Centre, but I'm going to go for Peel to beat Mills.
Apologies, I nearly interrupted you right in mid-flow there. Anyway, moving on, we've got, we'll take a quick canter through the other divisions. So in Division 2, I believe there's four games taking place.
Yes, there is, and one tonight and four, excuse me, for tomorrow. Castletown against Athletic, I'm going to go for Castletown to win that one. Jim's, sorry about this, I knew it was going to happen. Jim's against Michael, going to go for Jim's to win. Malou against D&D, I'll go for Malou. And Paul Rose against Onken, I'm going to go for Onken.
There we go, got there in the end. We'll keep on going. Let's move on. So the Canada Life Combi 1, there's four games in that one as well.
In the Canada Life Combi 1, Douglas Royal against Moran, I'm going to go for Royal. Rushen against Ayr, Rushen. Ramsey against Laxey, I'll go for Laxey. And Peel against Union Mills, just go for Peel.
Excellent. And then moving on to Combi 2, by the looks of it, six games in this one.
There is. And Braddon against St John's, I'm going to go for Johnners to win. Douglas Athletic against Castletown, I'll go for Castletown. Michael against Jims, I'll go for Jims. Governors Athletic against Colby at Colby, sorry, because Governors play down there. I'm going to go for Governors. And Douglas and District against Malou at the Bowl, I'm going to go for Malou to win that. And Onken against Paul Rose, I'm going to go for Onken.
OK, and then moving into Sunday, we have the Canada Life Women's Division. There's three games. We have Peel versus Union Mills, Onken versus Castletown, and Corinthians versus Douglas Royal. What do you make of those?
Well, the Douglas Royal against Corinthians is the game I'm looking at because a right old battle going at the top of the table. If one of these two win, that puts them in the driving seat for the second place because at the moment, Peel are just running away with it. So I'm going to go for Corinthians just to win it. Onken against Castletown, I'm going to go for Castletown. And Peel, I'm hanging in there. Peel against Union Mills, I'm going to go for Peel.
I'll take the baton off you just for a moment there. There are also Masters games taking place. We have Douglas and District versus Rycop. That's a 2:10 p.m. kickoff at the Bowl in Douglas. And also Colby versus Corinthians. That's a 3:40 kickoff at the Bowl in Douglas. Just briefly, your thoughts, actually. We've got a glass of water has just been brought into the studio to help Tony Meppen recover. But just a very quick mention. We've got about 60 seconds or so. FC Isle of Man, another fantastic result in midweek against Barnton.
Absolutely brilliant. and well done to them. We'll wait and see how it goes tomorrow. But they've been playing really well. Look at them in the league now. They're right up in that top five, top six. So congratulations to them. Big fortnight coming up. First home game on the 30th. Cup game on the 23rd. I think there's a midweek game in there as well. Well done to them. Fantastic turnaround. And hopefully tomorrow it comes together again.
Yeah, absolutely. They really have seemed to have found their rhythm. And yes, they're taking on Abbey Hulton United tomorrow. That's a 3 o'clock start. Abbey Hulton United, based in Stoke-on-Trent. Best of luck to them. Okay, Tony, thank you very much. Well, competition is ramping up in the next stage of the Cup tournaments in Manx hockey this weekend. 12 sides are left vying for success across the Mixed Cup, Mixed Plate and Mixed Bowl. Among the pick of the ties is expected to be the first meeting of the season between two old foes in the Cup. Here with more details on the weekend's action once again is Sam Spooner. Six fixtures this weekend. We've got the Rossborough Mixed Cup up first. And the first fixture we've got up here, both games at 2 o'clock, we have Castletown Celts against Valkyries A.
Yeah, it could be a close game in prospect, to be fair. Last week, Valkyries A narrowly beat Castletown Celts 3-2, I believe, off the top of my head. I think Castletown Celts are the underdog going into this game. Valkyries A are based on form this year. Yes, they've had a couple of disappointing results, even by their standards. And I think Valkyries A should be too strong for Celts, but Valkyries A will need to concentrate for 70 minutes and not switch off at all. That Celts team, when they narrowly lost 3-2, they were a weakened side, and I believe they're almost back to full strength this week.
I mean, you're talking about this game, I think, during the league as well, and you said it's always you said it's a physical encounter in a good way. Is that what we can expect this time around, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the likes of Stevie Ronan, who's sort of Castletown Celts enforcer in the middle of the park there, and Valkyries are a physical side. And now, that's not saying that they are just two physical sides. They are both very skillful sides. Valkyries, they have some wonderful players in there, as do Celts. But yeah, it's always a good game to watch. And I remember being part of a Castletown Celts team playing against Valkyries, and I absolutely loved it because I came off that pitch with bruises all over my body, and I felt like I'd been involved in a real match.
And the other game in the Mixed Cup, this could be an intriguing one. At 2 o'clock as well, out in the west over at QE2 is Vikings A versus Backers A.
Yeah, first meeting of these two sides this season. They haven't met in the league yet. One thing's for sure, Vikings A are flying in the league, and they don't seem likely to lose at any point soon. However, Backers A, despite their poor season so far, they are a very, very dangerous side. And if they hadn't have lost to Ramsey, I would have been expecting, or Vikings B even, I would have expected them to be fighting for the title. And I just get the impression that in a cup competition, that Backers A side is incredibly dangerous. You know, Jamie Brown in the centre of midfield there, driving his team forward, even when the chips are down, they never give up. Vikings A are going to have to be very, very careful and make sure they finish every chance they get.
All right, moving on to the Mixed Plate. The slightly earlier starts, both games at 12:30. The first of those that I've got here, you might know a bit of something about this. Valkyries C versus Vikings C.
Yeah, Valkyries C, league leaders, and rightfully so. They are an awesome team. Absolute favourites going into this fixture. But Vikings C, the past couple of weeks, after not winning in the opening 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the league season, they've strung two wins together in 2-1 in the plate against Southerners, and then one last week against Castletown Camogs. And although both games are, you know, reasonably close, Vikings C have a bit of momentum now, and they're going into this game quietly confident of causing a bit of an upset. That being said, Valkyries C, they are a very, very handy team. I've been through their players before, the likes of the young Flo Barber, the experienced Rob Condra, you know, and then up front they've got two really experienced strikers in Steph Cottier and Chris Thomas, who will finish everything that they get goes near them. So I think Valkyries C are absolute favourites, but Vikings C are quietly confident of causing an upset.
And the other one in the mixed plate is Backers Colts. They take on Castletown Camogs.
Yeah, Castletown Camogs last week, they performed really well and were unlucky to come out of the game with a loss. They probably deserved a draw against Vikings C. And I was talking to the guys afterwards, and they were saying that's the best performance they've had all season. And if they can take that form into this week, they're going to be a very dangerous side for Backers Colts. I mean, to me, Backers Colts are the outright favourites, you know, based on league position, the form of the whole season. So for me, Backers Colts are the favourites to get to the final, but Castletown Camogs If they carry their form from last week, they are going to be a truly dangerous side.
And the other competition, the mixed bowl, these are the earliest of the early starts, I think. Both games at 11 a.m, and the first of those is Vikings E against Castletown Cosney at the NSC.
Yeah, and there's a prospect for an All-Vikings final here, and I know that's being quite presumptuous, but when you look at Vikings E versus Castletown Cosney, both fairly evenly matched sides, but when you look at the likes of Vikings E, James Craig in goals, Lee Cowell and his incredible pace, Lee Cowell especially with his pace will be dangerous to Castletown Cosney, and I just think Vikings E overall look a little bit stronger than Castletown Cosney, so they're going into the game as favourites for me. You look at the other fixture, Vikings D, who are leading the league this season, undefeated. They've scored multiple goals in all ball one game, which was last weekend, and they had chance after chance. But against Backers C, you've got to say Vikings D are going to come out as that one as winners. No offence to Backers C. They are a much more experienced side, Backers, but they don't quite have the pace and the fitness that Vikings D team does. When you look at Ash Dougal, Andy Harding, Ian Perry, you know, just to name three out of that squad. Joanna Roney as well. You know, she's been assisting goals left, right and centre this year. So that Vikings D team for me is favourite to go through, and we could be looking at an All-Vikings final.
Plenty to look forward to. So if you taking a look at those six fixtures, if you had to pick one that is a particular one to keep an eye on, what would it be and why?
The first fixture I always look for, whether it be mixed, men's or ladies, when the fixtures come out, is Vikings A versus Backers A. It's always a great fixture to watch, no matter what. It's two sides giving absolutely everything in a match. They crawl off the pitch after they've played each other. So that, for me, is the game of the day.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Sam Spooner with that update for us there. Okay, to round things off this evening, it was a clean sweep of victories for the Isle of Man's national cricket team whilst competing out in Cyprus last week. The team took part in a T20i tri-series against the hosts, Cyprus, and Estonia between the 6th and the 8th of October. The Manx side won all of the games they played, and now their thoughts will be turning to how they can take their performances to the next level in future tournaments. I caught up with team coach Greg Wright and captain Matt Ansell to get their thoughts on their performances and what they're hoping to achieve going forward.
It was a brilliant performance. The lads were tremendous in every discipline, batting, bowling and fielding, so yeah, they surpassed expectations.
What were your initial expectations going into the tournament?
We went there expecting to win. That was always our objectives. It's a T20 ranking event, so we're placing a high value on those matches, and we're going into them expecting wins because we want to be in the top 50 very, very soon. So that was what we wanted to do. However, it was how we won which was more pleasing. It was a very comfortable performance in all games.
Obviously, we've had so much disruption over the past 18 months due to COVID and whatnot, but just, you know, to be able to head off Ireland to take part in a tournament like this, how was that for you after all the disruption we've had?
It's been very hit and miss, because not only with COVID, our season also finished over a month ago as well. So the lads actually went into it having played one game of cricket in about 6 weeks. But they have been training very, very hard outside at King William's College in the AstroTurf nets, and then training inside on a Thursday night at the National Sports Centre. So they've had a lot of training, but not a lot of match play practice.
Going forward, obviously, coming off the back of this, there will be the likes of T20 qualifiers that will be coming up at some point in the future. Where does the Isle of Man stand with that?
All European countries will be available to enter the World Cup qualifiers next year, which is the European section. We're not sure of the date of that yet, but we will be entering that. We're also looking to be going away somewhere around mid to late February, early March as well. So looking at another triangular tournament as well to see if we can just nip in a few more ranking points, and also to help us prepare for the World Cup qualifiers proper.
Matt, obviously, congratulations for such a brilliant performance. What are your initial thoughts on how the tournament went?
Oh, it was fantastic. I generally couldn't ask more from the team. Really, it was just nice to be able to kind of put a lot of the practice that we put in over the last few years just into practice, and obviously get the results which we wanted.
Going into it, you expected to perform strongly, and the fact that you've come away with a perfect record, what was the key to that, do you think, while you were out there?
Genuinely, it's just all the hard work which you put in, putting it into practice. I think there's been obviously a lot of issues over the last year or so with a certain virus which is going around, so we've had a lot of time to actually train between ourselves and become quite tightly knitted as a group. I think just the performances together, everyone managed to put a performance in, so it was never like just one person actually doing everything. So it was just a 100% team effort, which is all you can ever ask for as a captain.
In terms of during those games, were there any particular strengths or highlights that you saw as captain?
I mean, nothing really stood out as in like bright lights in one person doing everything, but it was just nice to see a lot of the younger players. So you had Carl Hartman, who's a 17-year-old wicketkeeper, being able to put in a few performances. So I think with the bat, managed to carry us home in three of them. And then a young lad, Jacob Butler, who's 16, was joint top wicket taker while we were out there. So it's obviously nice to see the younger lot putting performances in, and obviously bright sparks for the future.
Speaking of that, how important are tournaments like this in giving some of the younger lads who are coming through the experience to experience a competition like that and then build on their cricketing abilities?
Oh, it's huge. I don't think you can replicate anything like that over here. So being able to go and put those skills into practice against people you've never played against before and people of a higher standard, it's always nice to be able to prove that you can do it.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Well, that rounds things off very nicely for this evening. Thank you very much for joining us. And once again, a thank you to all the guests this week: Tony Meppam, Sam Spooner, Greg Wright and Matt Ansell. Well, all that's left for me to say is I hope you have a wonderful weekend with whatever you're doing. And until next time, bye for now.
Station, Manx Radio.